I'm excited because God has extended me an awesome opportunity to come and to share with you, my brothers and sisters. Now, I was born and raised in Modesto, California. And we have grapevines and pine trees. And so I'm getting used to Indiana. As I was traveling here, y'all, I seen a whole lot of corn. And I was a little intimidated, amen. I was just glad to see, amen, some houses and buildings. And so when I got here to North Vernon, I just said, oh, praise God, amen. And so I'm excited to all the pastors that are here today, to each and every one of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I do bring you greetings from the Mount Pisgah Missionary Baptist Church in Kokomo, Indiana, where the Lord has given me the pleasure, the honor, and the opportunity to have pastored there for some 15 years. And God is doing some amazing things. I met my friend, amen, at our state convention. And he extended this opportunity for me to come and preach. And I'm excited. I'm always excited about preaching. So I'm going to be like what Liz Taylor, I believe, told her seventh husband. I'm not going to keep you long. So there is a passage of scripture that holds our attention, John the 11th chapter, just one verse, verse number 34, John 11, verse 34. It's really the entire story, but we will just look at verse 34. Keep your Bibles open. I am a Bible preacher. Well, I don't know how you can preach without being a Bible preacher, but I am a Bible preacher. Verse 34 is what has drawn my attention. When you've got there, say, I'm there. If you haven't got there, say, hold up, preacher. All right. John 11:34 says this, and he said, show me where you've laid him. They said unto him, Lord, come and see. That's it. I want to talk about this evening. Show me where you laid him. It's interesting that our story takes place. Jesus and his disciples hears that a man named Lazarus, who lived in the town of Bethany, whom he loved, was sick, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, sends for Jesus. Lazarus was very sick, and his sisters sent for Jesus with the message, come, for the one you love is sick. Jesus got the message, but Jesus does something very interesting. He does not come immediately. Jesus said that Lazarus was not going to die, that his sickness was for the glory of God. Furthermore, Jesus said that the Son of God would receive glory from this. Jesus does something very peculiar. He hears the plea of Mary and Martha, but he stays two more days where he's at. And then finally he tells the disciples, let's go to Judea and see Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Lazarus is sleeping. Now his disciples were very concerned because at this time Jesus had become a hot commodity. And there was much controversy, and there was a plot to kill him, and they were very concerned about Jesus going back to Judea. And they said, listen, there's no need to go because Lazarus must be doing good because he's sleeping. And Jesus finally says to them, Lazarus is dead. When Jesus and the disciples arrive in Bethany, Lazarus had been in the grave now some 4 days. Jesus finally arrives at the sister's home, and Mary, being true to her nature, and Martha stays in the house. Mary, being true to her nature, goes out. Martha goes out and meets Jesus. Mary stays in the house. Martha goes out and meets Jesus and said, "If you had been here earlier, my brother would not have died." Jesus said to Martha, "Lazarus will rise again." And I guess Martha wanted to deal with Jesus in a theological term, eschatological term. She says to Jesus, "I know he'll rise on resurrection day when everyone else rises." And Jesus looks at Martha and said, "I am the resurrection." Jesus, Martha goes back into the house and she gets her sister Mary. Mary comes out and says the same thing, basically, that her sister Martha says: "If you had been here earlier, my brother would not have died." I guess I'm having a fit with this thing right here. My brother would not have died. And Jesus says these words to them: "Show me where you've laid him." And I think Jesus is saying the same thing right now in the city of North Vernon, to this collection of believers, to this body of Christ. Jesus is saying to us, "Show me where you've laid him. Show me the root of your pain. Show me what causes you to cry. Show me where you have laid the origin of your anxiety. Show me where you have laid the source of your sadness." This evening, Jesus is saying to us right now, "Show me where you've laid him. Show me what you have given up on. Show me what you have buried and see no life in. Show me what you believe is beyond repair. Show me what you have thrown in the towel on. Show me what you have now counted as useless. Show me that relationship that you have counted as dead and buried. Show me the source of your disappointment. Show me what you don't even bother asking God about anymore. Show me the piece of you that was buried under the anger, the bitterness, the disappointment, the frustration, the sadness. Show me that pain that's hidden behind your smile. Show me that laughter that masked the sadness. Show me the joy and excitement that you used to have when you followed me. Show me the hope of sharing and desiring a relationship you put your work in, but yet that relationship seems to be crumbling in your hand and you pretty much said, it's a wash, it's over with. Show me the pain of your childhood. Show me the real you that has not been out in such a long time because you have mastered in showing an image of strength, but inside you're beaten and you're worn. Show me those walls that you have built up to keep others out. No more hurt, no more pain, no more sadness, no more rejection. But the only problem with those walls, they keep people out, but they've also kept you in. Show me the source of your secret. Show me the hopelessness, the bleakness, the dreariness, the darkness, the loneliness, the sadness, the struggle with depression. Show me what sets you off. Show me what you won't show others about yourself. Show me where you buried that childhood secret that nobody knows about but you. Show me what causes you, even when you are in the midst of people, you're still sad, you're still sorrowful, and yet tears still find you. Show me what you believe now is laid away and now stinks. And the sister says to Jesus, Jesus says to the sisters, show me where you've laid him. And I just believe that I'm not the only one, and I guess I'm preaching to myself because I'm dealing with the situation in my life right now that the Lord has said, listen here, it's stinking right now. Listen, you buried it behind so many things, and it's still affecting your life. It's not true out of sight, out of mind, out of sight, but yet it's still in my mind. Show me. Show me. He's talking to me. Show me, Anderson. You're a preacher. Everyone looks at you for advice, but you yourself need advice. Show me, Anderson. I mean, you travel the country. Everyone looks at you and says, hey, you got it together. But the truth of the matter is, if you followed me to my house, if you followed me, if you looked in my mind, you can see sadness, doubt, fear, anxiety, depression, anger, unforgiveness. Everyone looks at me and it looks like I got everything together. I got the house, I got the car, I got the looks. But the truth of the matter is, there's pain. And I believe the sisters, when we look at this place where Jesus shows, ask the sisters, show me where you laid him. In other words, I want to see what you have given up on. In other words, I want to see what you believe is now dead and buried. Jesus, I see four things in here. And do not tell my church that I can preach under 20 minutes. Do not tell them that, because sometimes it takes me 20 minutes to get through my introduction. Four things I see in here, and I'm gonna let you go, because I kind of want to get down that road before it gets dark. Amen. Four things. First of all, I see the sister's response to Jesus. My brother's dead. If you've been here, show me where you laid him. And they say this to Jesus, Lord, come and see. First thing I see, Lord, the sister's response is they acknowledge his authority because they said to him, Lord, oh, bless his name. What an awesome thing. In the midst of our sadness, in the midst of our tears, not only can we call him Father, but we can also call him Lord. Because when we call him Lord, that's a sense of authority. They were saying to the master, Lord, even though we're buried it, you are still Lord. I love that. Because I don't know about you, but I get in a whole lot of trouble. It doesn't have to be sin trouble. Sometimes it could just be sadness. Sometimes it could be those things that grip your mind, grip your body. They acknowledged him. They said to him, they acknowledged his authority. Lord, I love that. Even in my tears, he's still Lord. Even in my sadness, he is still Lord. Even when in my confusion, he is still Lord. He does not lose his lordship. I praise God. I thank God because sometimes I lose myself, but I'm glad God doesn't lose who he is in the midst of my trouble. He is Lord. I told you I'm a missionary Baptist. My gosh. Oh, he is Lord. They acknowledge his authority. I'm saying to someone in here, the Lord is asking you, show me where you laid him. And the first response is, Lord, he is Lord. But not only did they acknowledge his authority, but they asked for his assistance because they said, come and see. Even though they buried him, come and see. He's been in the grave four days. Come and see. We sent for you. You did not come when we wanted him. Come and see. He's stinking right now. Come and see. Listen, everybody's home. We've already eaten the funeral chicken. We've already put up the flowers. Come and see. Even though he was dead, come and see. Oh, what faith. And I believe that's what the Lord is saying. Even though we have buried our Lazarus, even though we have buried, even though some of the Lazarus that we have and we're dealing with are dead and buried, Jesus still invites, they still invite Jesus, come and see. Oh, they acknowledge his authority. They ask for his assistance. Lord, come and see. I'm just glad that there's nothing that goes on in a believer's life that we can't ask the Lord to come and see. I'm glad that he's not tied up and bound up with foolishness. I'm glad that he remains God and remains God all by himself. They said, Lord, come and see. The sister's response. But not only do I see the sister's response to Jesus, but I see the Savior's response to the sisters. And he tells them this, take away the stone. Take away the stone. Let me say it again. Take away the stone. What Jesus was telling them was, first of all, take away your solution for Lazarus. Your solution for Lazarus was to bury him. Your solution for Lazarus, listen, leaves his condition the same. Take away your solution. He's dead. He's buried. There's no use for him. And the only thing you do with dead stuff is you bury it. Jesus says, no. I know that's not a good word, but he says, no. Take away that which keeps Lazarus in and that which keeps you out. Take away your solution. What is our solution? Not talking to him. What is our solution? Cutting him off. What is our solution? Verbal punishment, disdain, anger. Take away your solution. And maybe that's what Jesus is asking some of us to do. Listen here, I can deal with your Lazarus, but first thing I need you to do is take away your solution. Not only take away your solution for Lazarus, but watch this. He said, take your solution away from Lazarus so I can have total access to Lazarus. Take away, remove the barriers. And Christ is saying to some of us, listen, some of the things that you put up that's preventing Lazarus from getting in, and listen, preventing Lazarus from coming out and Christ from coming in, some of us have to look at our attitudes. Maybe we have buried Lazarus in our attitudes and in our unforgiveness, in our prejudices, in our bitterness, in our sarcasm. Maybe we have buried Lazarus in all of the anger and disdain for Lazarus. Maybe that's what Lazarus, maybe the barrier for God to get in is you. Maybe it's your attitude that's preventing God from getting in. Maybe it's your disposition. The truth of the matter is, can I be truthful with some of us in here? All of us are repeat offenders. Every last one of us in here, we are all recipients for God's grace. Because why? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We were born in sin. Nobody had to teach me how to be sinful. I was born in sin. Dogs bark because they're dogs. Roosters crow because they're roosters. Sinners sin because what? You talk to me, somebody. Their solution, this Jesus says, remove the barrier. Can I say this to some of us? Jesus is saying to some of us, it ain't over. All I need you to do is get rid of your solution, because I will not use your solution. And all I need you to do is get rid of those barriers Not only do I see, and I'm hurrying, not only do I see the Savior's, the sister's response to Jesus. They acknowledge his authority. They ask for his assistance. And then the Savior's request for the sisters take away the solution for Lazarus. And he wants total access to Lazarus. But watch this. The third, I see the sister's restrictions for the Savior. They said to Jesus, they said, listen, he's been dead for some time. And his body now decays. Jesus, listen, you know, come see, but he's been dead for 4 days. And his body is decaying. What the restrictions the sisters were putting on Jesus was, they put Jesus in a time limit. What they were really saying to Jesus is, too much time has gone by and really ain't no need. Even though we said, come and see, there ain't no need. Listen, he's been dead in the grave for 4 days. How many of us right now have put Jesus in a time limit? Lord, it's too late. I mean, too much time has went by. It is what it is. I'm just at the point right now in my mind, in my heart. It is what it is. It's too late. It's over. Too much time has elapsed. I'm here to tell some marriage, it ain't over till God says it's over. I'm telling some parent right now who's dealing with your little Lazarus, your little Lazarette and your little Lazarus. I'm here to tell you right now, it's not over. I don't care how much time. As my grandmother was here, she would say, as long as God is sitting high and looking low, there's still time. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep putting your hope in Jesus. It's not too late. They said, they were saying, it's too much time. Too much time has went by. They put Jesus on a time limit. Can I just say this to some of our single ladies? I know you're tired of being a bridesmaid. If somebody asks you to be one more bridesmaid, you're probably going to just burn up the whole place. I know it's time. It's awful hard being a bridesmaid, even when Twisted Eye Susan with one tooth keeps getting married and you're still not. But I'm here to tell you, hold on. Because God is always on time. If I was at my church, I'd say, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. And there's some of us that can tell you right now, we have to wait on God. There's some things that God will just make you do. Some I don't like to wait. I'm glad for instant popcorn. Because I grew up in a day when my mother used to put some oil in a skillet and put the popcorn. She would have to, anybody remember that? She would have to shake it up. I grew up in a time when my grandmother, we didn't just go to the store and get ice cream. She would have to churn it. Whatever churn mean? I still don't know what churn mean. She would churn it. And now everything is so instant this. I had a member tell me, Pastor, I'm going to cook a turkey. I said, well, how long going to take? She said, it's an instant turkey. It's going to take me 30 minutes. I said, I don't want no turkey. It takes 30 minutes to cook. We don't like to wait. And what they were really telling Jesus is, it's too late. But not only but that they put Jesus on a time limit. But watch the text. They put him also on a power limit. They said, he's too decayed. In other words, he's too far gone. In other words, listen here, his body is rotten. Can I just say this to somebody? There's some situations right now in your life. It's late, it's time is ticking away, and things are beginning to stink. Things are rotten. Listen here, things are not going the way you planned. And right now, that situation you're in, things are decaying. And they were telling Jesus, it's too late, you're too late, and he is beyond even you, Jesus. Can I just say this? And I'm just about finished. I'm 16 minutes right in. I got about 3 minutes and 20-something seconds left, and I'm getting out of here. I want you to know that the God you serve can do something with that which we think is nothing. Listen, they said he's decaying. His body is not like it used to be. He's jacked up. I want someone here to know this. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if it's your sister, your brother, your grandchild. I don't care if it's your mother, your father. It's not too late. It's not too late. Don't you know that we serve a God that's able to do everything and anything but fail? Don't you know that we serve a God who is mightier than might, who is bigger than big? He's so high you can't go over him. He's so low you can't go under him. He's so wide you can't go around him. I'm glad that we serve a God who is mighty in battle. Everything that we need, we can find in Jesus Christ. I'm glad that he still has power to even stop that which is rotting. Bless his name. Last thing, and I'm finished. I heard someone say, bless his name. Thank you. Yeah. Not only the sister's response, not only the Savior's request, not only the sister's restriction, but lastly, the Savior's reasoning for Lazarus. If you look down at verse 40, he says, Jesus said to her, I say not to thee that if thou just believe it, thou should see the glory of God. Maybe the reason why you have your Lazarus, because God wants to use your life as a billboard to others who have Lazarus. I'll say it again. Maybe the reason why you're dealing with Lazarus is because God's putting the spotlight on you to show others what it means and how to deal with their Lazarus. I'll say it again. I said this side, didn't say nothing. I said this side right here. Maybe the reason why you have your Lazarus experience, maybe it ain't about you. Maybe it's for the glory of God to be seen through you. I said this side got slow. I said this side. Maybe we should stop looking at ourselves, feeling so sorry for ourselves. Maybe we ought to put down our sad violins. Maybe we ought to look up to Jesus and ask the Lord, what lesson do you want me to learn? What is it that you want me to believe about your power? And what is it that I am to show others what it means to love God and what it means to trust God, even when I'm dealing with my Lazarus situations? Maybe that's the issue. Maybe Lazarus is here, not just to raise Lazarus up, but also to grow you up. Maybe God is using your Lazarus to teach you a little bit more about yourself. Because sometimes, listen, it's nothing to praise God when things are going well. It's nothing to have faith in God when things are doing good. But what do you do when Lazarus is dead? What do you do when that which you have planned is now stinking in the grave? And Jesus shows up. And you don't believe that Jesus is on time. You believe that it's over with. Maybe it's for you to believe. And then lastly, so that you will believe and see, and so others will see. Maybe sometimes God has a way of putting our lives on display. The truth of the matter is, who else better than you can tell the world what it means to have hard times but yet still trust him? Who else better than you, you widows, who knows what it means to lose loved ones, but yet God still keep your mind, yet God still keep your heart? Who else better than you can tell someone else who's about to go through their own Lazarus situations? Who else better than you can tell someone, if you trust God and if you keep his word in your heart, he will heal your body. He will heal your mind. He will heal your heart. Who else better than you can tell someone, I know what it means to be down and out. I know what it means to give up on myself. I know what it means to almost want to throw in the towel, but yet out of nowhere, God shows up and turns my life around. I'm not where I should be, but I'm not where I used to be. Who else better than you? See, I know what it means to have a child that's not acting the way I raised him. I know what it means to have a child. Sometimes even though they're old, I can still take them across my knee and I would just love one day just to, yeah. Who else better than you can tell another parent, but if you keep praying, God will show up and God will do what you cannot do. I guess all I'm simply saying is, what's all this talk about Lazarus? I guess to say it, I hope this was evangelistic in nature. Because my name was Lazarus. I was dead in sin and my transgressions. My name was Lazarus. I was dead and rotten. But thank God for Jesus. Because the Bible says that Jesus, when Jesus goes up to the grave, after they pull the stuff, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And the old preachers used to say, if he had not called Lazarus by name, everything in the grave would have got up and walked that day. He had to call him by name, Lazarus. And I remember old preacher used to say when Lazarus, when he was gone somewhere, Lazarus was must have been talking maybe to the angels. And all of a sudden, he heard the voice of Jesus. And he tells everybody, hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. Hush, sounds like Jesus. Bible says Jesus calls Lazarus. And Lazarus comes out of the grave. And then Jesus tells him, loose him, set him free. That's what happened to me on Calvary. Jesus set me free, died on the cross, paid the price for my sins, and set me free. I thank God for that. I said, I thank God for that. I thank God for that. And there's a difference between Lazarus' grave and Jesus' grave. At Lazarus' grave, the people were gathered around looking at him. But at Jesus' grave, can't you hear when the sisters came to the grave and the angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? For he's not here. He has risen as he said he would. At Lazarus' grave, the stone was still pushed up. But when they got to Jesus' grave, the stone was rolled away. It was not to let Jesus out, but it was to let us in. At Lazarus' grave, one day, they was going to have to go back to the grave with Lazarus. But can't you hear Jesus say, I am he that was dead, but am alive forevermore. My question this morning is, show me where you laid him. Where is he? What is your Lazarus? With every head bowed. I can just do it my own way. Okay. My first call is for those who have Lazarus, whatever it is. And the challenge this evening is, God says, show me where you've laid them. Show me what you think now is dead and hopeless. What part of your life is gone beyond repair? If that's you today, and you're saying, Anderson, I have a Lazarus. If that's you, while everybody's head is bowed, just stand. If you're saying, I'm dealing with my own Lazarus, I see you standing. There's someone else. I see you standing. Someone else just saying, I have my own Lazarus that I'm dealing with. And while you're standing, I want you just to pray right now and ask God, Lord, Jesus is saying, show me where you've laid him. Where did you put him? Jesus says, I want total access. Get rid of your solution and let me have access to him. And while they're standing right now, my question to you is, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have put your faith and hope in Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you, have you been baptized? I'm not asking you, are you a member of a church? I'm not asking you, are you a good person, whatever that is. I'm asking you, can you recall a time in your life that you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that God had raised him from the dead? And by faith, you received him into your heart. And now your hope and your trust for eternity, for salvation, is based solely on Jesus, apart from any works. If you know without a shadow of a doubt, you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved this evening, just lift your hands up high right now. And just simply say, and I want you to keep your hands up. And for those who could not raise your hand, you're the only ones I want you to look up right at me now. You see, those of us whose hands are up, our hands are not up because we're so good. Our hands are not up because we're so perfect. Our hands are up because we believe Jesus. Our hands are up because we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. Our hands are up, not that we're perfect, not that we're sinless. Our hands are up because we have put our faith and trust in Jesus, and Jesus has more mercy than we had mess. And he's got more grace than we've got mess ups. Put your hands down. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ, and the Lord is moving on your heart right now, and you hear the Holy Spirit telling you to come to Jesus, I'm saying to you, there's not a better time to come to Jesus than right now. What a great way for revival to start or end is that people will know Jesus Christ in the pardon of their sins. If you're saying, Pastor Anderson, I've never accepted Jesus Christ, but I want Jesus in my heart. I want to accept him by faith. I want to live for him. I want to know what it means to be in a relationship with him. If that's you, while everybody's head is bowed, just slip your hand up so I can see you. Say, I want to be saved. I want to experience the love of Jesus in a personal way. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
In Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, John says, and when I saw Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and death. Pastor Anderson has encouraged us to tell the Lord the truth about what it is we're afraid of. That thing that we won't even pray about because we're afraid that it's too late. The Lord's not going to deal with it, or it's too far gone, or we're just going to pretend like everything's okay. Let's don't do that. Let's stop discouraging Jesus and take him at his word. Don't be afraid. He's the first. He's the last. I am he who lives. He says, I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. And we saw with Lazarus that he unlocks the door when he wants to. We're going to have an opportunity for you to respond in a public way. If you have indicated that you want to follow the Lord Jesus, you're welcome to respond in this invitation tonight, and that will be about following Jesus, not about Bethel. If you want to reach out to your pastor or the church you came with after this is over, they'll be delighted to have contact with you. And so you know where they are. They'll be lingering around after this is over. But you make sure that you don't leave this place hiding that thing from Jesus that you've been hiding. It's time to take the cover off and tell Jesus what it is and invite him to solve it. All you've done hasn't worked. It's time to give up on that He is the answer. Let's stand together and sing, and you respond as the Lord leads.